It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's been 1 year since the first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in the U.S., and thousands of Wisconsinites continue to test positive every day. While there's no silver bullet for avoiding hospitalization, Bram Sable-Smith reports experts have developed tips for treating the disease.
Morgan Siner struggled to decide whether to drive from Waterloo to Marshfield to visit family for Christmas. The 29-year-old knew traveling risked exposure to the coronavirus. On the other hand, she had a really hard year. Like a lot of us, she missed family milestones while spending the year in isolation.
And I think I just got overconfident, and I went up to visit my sister and her husband and their kids.
It was a good Christmas, but 2 days later, she got the call. Her sister had symptoms. Siner got tested herself, and the results came back on New Year's Day. She had COVID-19.
That just goes to show you, you can be so careful, and you can just make one mistake. You can just let your guard down a little bit, and that's when it could get you.
Wisconsin saw a spike in new cases after the holidays, and while there's no cure for COVID, experts have developed a decent sense for what helps. Siner and her husband followed many of these practices, and they hope their experience can help others. Step one is isolating. Siner's husband, Andrew, did not travel and tested negative for COVID. They wanted to keep it that way, so he slept on the couch. UW Health's Nasia Softar says that's a good start.
So ideally a dedicated room and a bathroom if that's available. If it isn't possible, then I think everyone in the house should be wearing masks when they're around you if you're sick.
That includes the sick person, too. And Softar says other basic hygiene is important, like hand washing, cleaning high-touch surfaces, and keeping air circulating with open windows, fans, or air purifiers.
The aerosols that sort of hang around in the air, it's good to move around the air so that it can waft them away, whether it's natural or artificial.
Step two, monitor your symptoms. So far, Morgan Siner has not had a fever, but she checks it twice a day. Michael Landrum from Bell & Health in Green Bay says that's a good idea. He also suggests using something called a pulse oximeter. It's about $30 and can be bought online or at a pharmacy. It clips to a fingertip and measures your blood oxygen level.
That's important because that's really one of the prime warning signs that things could be getting worse.
Landrum says a typical blood oxygen level is around 98% to 99%. If you have COVID and it dips below 94 and doesn't get better when you take a few deep breaths,
then that should be a sign that at least call your doctor.
Shortness of breath and other breathing difficulties may also signal that COVID is progressing to a point that might need hospitalization. A pulse oximeter can help detect that early. Step three, treat your symptoms. The only real remedy Morgan Siner used was a bottle of nasal spray, but she also ate healthy, got rest, and drank liquids. Landrum says, right on.
The old adages you got from your mom or grandma are still true with this.
If you do develop a fever, both Landrum and Softar say you should treat it with a fever reducer, like ibuprofen or Tylenol. Either one is fine and should help other likely symptoms like muscle aches. There's also some evidence that people with low levels of vitamin D are more likely to contract COVID or develop more severe symptoms. A vitamin D supplement could be helpful, but just to bring your levels up to normal. And Softar says there's one more treatment to ask your doctor about, monoclonal antibodies. That's the IV treatment President Trump got back in October.
Not everyone needs them, but if you have high-risk conditions, it's good to at least discuss the possibility of should you be getting those.
Morgan Siner is out of isolation now. She still feels guilty about contracting COVID, but she's thankful her symptoms weren't worse. Bram Sable-Smith, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And the story comes from a reporting partnership between WPR and Wisconsin Watch. Just a heads up on our coverage plans for Inauguration Day tomorrow. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn in as the next president and vice president of the U.S. Join us for live NPR coverage from the U.S. Capitol starting at 10. That's live inauguration coverage tomorrow morning at 10 on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Now we're checking in on how restaurants are doing and a new proposal for alcoholic drinks to go that's circulating in the legislature. Under the proposal, restaurants and bars could sell mixed drinks and glasses of wine packaged with a tamper evidence seal. It's a move to help a struggling industry. New data out from the National Restaurant Association overall losses for 2020 totaled $240 billion. Are you in the restaurant business? What do you need now? What do you think of this cocktails to-go bill? It's 800-642-1234. Christine Hilmer is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Christine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Well, explain this legislation, selling to-go cocktails or to-go wine by the glass. How does it work?
So what it would mean is if you want to enjoy with your carry-out food your favorite margarita or your favorite old-fashioned or if a restaurant has a signature cocktail, they can mix it up to the proper proportions. They can put it in a sealed container, and you can take it with your to-go order. And what it means is it provides the restaurant with an additional revenue source, and it provides anybody who wants to do this with that great cocktail that they can enjoy at home.
Now, you know, I mean, many states do this. I lived in Louisiana for many years where you see drive-through daiquiri shops in every corner. You know, you drive past a window, buy your daiquiri, away you go. And it's just this small piece of tape that prevents, you know, you from being, you know, pulled over or charged with driving with an open container. Is that the same approach here on the seal with a piece of tape?
There's a lot of different ways that you can seal it, but when we say tamper-resistant, it means that you can obviously see that it has been opened in the car, and it really is no different than going to your liquor store or your convenience store and getting a can of beer and cracking it open when you're in the car. It's really no different than you take this cocktail and you open it up, and it's obvious that it has been opened after you've left that facility. It's really different. In Washington, D.C., I've seen some very creative ones that it's called a Fauci Pouchy, where basically it looks like a Capri Sun that the restaurant would fill with that favorite cocktail. They seal it, and off you go. But you know when it's been open, and that's the key to this. It's not an open intoxicant in the car. That's a great concern to us. That is not what this is. You know that it's been open after it's been left, after you've left the restaurant.
Where is the proposal now? Where is this bill now in the legislature?
Right now it has been proposed, and we are looking for co-sponsors in the legislature. In fact, today is the deadline to have that happen. So if anybody thinks that this is a good idea for Wisconsin, contact your legislator and let them know that they should be signing on to this bill. Of course, it's going to have to go to hearing, and it's going to have to go through the legislature and the whole process and eventually to the governor's office. But we've been in constant contact with his office as well as a lot of our legislators, and it looks pretty favorable. Of course, you can't say for sure if it's going to go, but we think that this is going to be a big boost for a lot of restaurants because they've lost a lot of that bar sale because they haven't been able to eat and dine in to their full capacity for a very long time.
Don't some mixed drinks need to be consumed right away, though? Things that have to be shaken or creamy cocktails, I'm thinking. Would some cocktails not lend themselves to this to-go fashion?
It's possible, and I would think that restaurants can help navigate you and let you know that, you know, this may not travel as well, but there's a lot that will. The other thing is that they could also mix it without the ice, because that's a factor in it that it may melt and then it may disintegrate a little bit and get watered down. But we think that this is a great opportunity, and right now one thing this does not allow for is for delivery of it. So if you have your food delivered, that cannot happen. We have another bill that we are working on to allow delivery companies to still have that face-to-face at the end of the transaction so they can check the ID. But right now, that is not part of this.
We're going to look at that legislation in a moment. But going back to these to-go cocktails, what about the critics who say if this law would go through, it would only contribute to more drinking and driving?
Well, again, it's no different than if you go to your local grocery store and you get a six-pack of beer, and you choose to open up that can of beer in the car. How is it different? Because when it has left the restaurant, it is sealed. We are very concerned about drunk driving, of course. But those that are going to do it are going to find a way around it, and right now it's not cocktails, it's going to be other things, but it's really no different. So this allows the restaurant to have that as a sales item, have that revenue so that they can survive, because that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're trying to help restaurants survive the economic crisis that the pandemic has caused.
Financially speaking, how much could this help restaurants and bars?
It really varies, because it depends upon the model of the restaurant. But, you know, some restaurants, 30% of their sales are cocktails. Some of it's higher and some of it's lower, but that's about an average. And right now, they're not getting that as part of their sale process. And restaurants are hurting. We know that around the state, many, many restaurants are doing the right thing. They're distancing their tables. They're having their staff wear their masks and so on. They've reduced the capacity of seats. And we need them to be able to have some additional revenue sources in order to just survive.
Are restaurants able to sell drinks of any kind right now, bars and restaurants, that are alcoholic for to-go?
So what they can do is they can sell alcohol that is factory sealed. And what that means is it's that can of beer that comes to them sealed from the factory, or a bottle of wine that's the cork is intact, or even a bottle of spirits, you know, the brandy and vodka and so on. As long as that is factory sealed, you can buy that from a restaurant. And this just extends that you can add that favorite signature cocktail, put it in a sealed container, and off you go. So they already have the ability to sell those factory sealed items.
We're discussing conditions in the restaurant industry with the head of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, Christine Hilmer, with us. How did your restaurant adapt last year, and what does the future hold for 2021? Did your restaurant invest in outdoor patio seating for winter dining? What has that been like? What have you learned about staying afloat in a pandemic in the food service industry? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Christine Hilmer on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, Christine Hilmer. According to the National Restaurant Association, about 110,000 restaurants nationwide have closed their doors in the pandemic, many never reopening. That represents 1 in 6 eateries not able to make the numbers work. Dozens of states have relaxed laws around to-go alcohol sales in response to the economy. Wisconsin has legislation in the works. Getting your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Cindy now in Appleton. Hi, Cindy. What do you think?
Well, I get it. I understand everybody's hurting and that alcohol sales is a big part of the restaurants, but we have created so much additional garbage and litter because of all this to-go stuff that all this is going to do is just create more garbage for the landfills, and I just wish there was a better way to do this.
Christine, this is additional packaging that Cindy is really concerned about.
So I think that what we know is because of the delivery and the curbside, you're adding a lot of packaging to the restaurant industry. We would prefer people to be sitting in the restaurant, and we would prefer to be able to pack them in and have that delicious food and have those craft cocktails in the restaurant. I completely get it. That's what we would prefer as well, but it's just not something that we can do right now. And it's just a sign of the times that with so much to go happening, there's going to be additional packaging. There's going to be an impact on the landfill. What's really cool is pre-COVID, there was a lot of suppliers that were working a lot of biodegradable to-go items. And I think that we're going to see a return to that, but unfortunately it's going to have to be after COVID is handled.
Christine, your association is also working on legislation that would allow for the delivery of alcohol in Wisconsin. You touched just a bit on this earlier. Can you explain why that is needed and what you're working on there?
It's an extension of the cocktails to go. And both of these bills have been passed in almost 40 other states, most of them since COVID hit. And what the delivery option allows is if you order that pizza and you want a six pack, that six pack of beer can be delivered with that pizza. Or you order a great Italian dinner and you want a bottle of red wine with it, it can be delivered with it. But you have to remember that there is still mechanisms in place, that there still has to be a face-to-face ID check that will be required. It's not going to be allowed to just drop it off on a front porch without checking that ID. So there are mechanisms in place, and it's just basically extending that sale, and it's that face-to-face at the end of the sale versus at the restaurant itself.
So what about checking IDs with this? How would that work when you bring that order, when you deliver those groceries?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can do it, but the mechanism that we are talking about is that when you make the order itself, when you call in, you can give them the name and ID number of that individual making that order. And that individual making the order has to be the one that accepts it. And then you verify that ID upon delivery. So you still have that look and you make sure that they have the correct date on there, that they are 21 or older. Because the last thing we want to do is be able to allow people to deliver and it's to underage drinkers. That's not something that we would like to see. And so there will be safeguards in place.
So what is the framework here for grocery stores? Because people go online, pick out the items they want from the grocery store and place that order.
And it would be the same thing that right now grocery stores cannot deliver alcohol. And this would be extended to allow them to do it as well. And same mechanism. If you're going to have alcohol in your order, you have to have a way to make sure that the person who is making the order and then receiving the order is the age of 21 and has that ID check. It would be the same thing.
So are these two bills circulating together?
At this time, they are not. They are separate.
Okay.
We would be fine if they were together. We would be fine if they were apart. Right now, just functionally speaking, they are apart, and so we'll be working on them at the same time.
We're talking with Christine Hilmer, CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, whose members have 7,000 restaurant locations statewide. We're looking at the state of the industry with your questions as well about to-go alcohol, 800-642-1234. Christine, I want to get a read on how restaurants in Wisconsin are doing right now. What are you hearing?
I have to be honest, it's pretty rough. Statewide, we know that, and this is based on survey data that we received at the beginning of December, 37% of restaurants are at risk of closing now. And right now in January and February tend to be the slowest months in most restaurants. So we've got the pandemic, we've got reduced capacity, we've got a brutalized industry, and now we're in the winter. So it is pretty rough, and that's one of the reasons why that we think that if we can give them more tools, it will help them. Even coming out as we come out in the spring, we know that the vaccine is starting to get out there. It's going to take some time, and so we don't think that we're going to be able to see capacity limits lifted into the summer. And it's still a long haul. There's a lot of restaurants that are on the brink.
What do you know about outbreaks at restaurants, COVID cases at restaurants?
So there have been a number of studies done, and we've looked at a lot of the contact tracing data and so on. And right now, there is no study that shows that restaurants that are employing all the best practices, the hypersanitization, the social distancing, the mask wearing, there is no study to show that restaurants are a significant source of the spread. The data is not there. In fact, looking at the science, restaurants are not the cause of the spread. But we know that this is one way to help control it, and that's why a lot of folks have gone this route. We know that restaurants are doing everything they can to keep their employees safe, to keep their customers safe, and it really is a survival mechanism. What you have to remember is the ripple effect when a restaurant goes out of business. That's really important. It's not just that restaurant owner and their family. It's their employees and their families. But then you also have to look at the suppliers and the farmers and everybody who supports a restaurant. That ripple effect is vast. Nationally speaking, they're looking at 40% of restaurants nationally going out of business, and that was back in December. It's pretty dire out there, and so anything we can do to support restaurants is critically needed.
A number of restaurants have been investing in outdoor dining, you know, the technology, the filters, trying to get outdoor spaces warm enough, frankly. How has that gone?
Well, over the summer, it was a real boost to a lot of restaurants to be able to extend their dining outside. It was really neat to see the innovation and the great spaces that were put up. Unfortunately, we are in the middle of January, and we are in Wisconsin. We are in a cold climate. So a lot of those spaces just are not usable right now. We do know that they do have igloos, and they've got greenhouses and other things. So they've been really creative, which is great to see. But some of the outdoor dining just isn't practical in the middle of winter. Of course, as we go into spring and things warm up a little bit, then they'll be able to reuse them. But you are absolutely right. They have extensively invested in safety protocols and things to keep their staff and their customers safe.
We heard from Judy in Appleton, who writes, here is a compromise. Take out alcohol to go cocktails could be permitted if, Judy says, we also raise the alcohol tax to fully account for the effect of inflation since the last time the tax was adjusted. What do you make of Judy's proposal?
Alcohol is already taxed, and it's a sin tax. And so it is already taxed. So I don't necessarily see why we would need to increase taxes on that even further.
So as we wrap up here, a couple more seconds left, what advice are you giving to restaurants around the state?
So most restaurants are at a reduced capacity, but even at a reduced capacity, there are seats in a restaurant. Go visit them. But when you go into a restaurant, please follow the safety protocols that those restaurateurs have put into place to keep their staff safe and keep you safe. So please follow them. Arguing with them on whether or not you believe in masks and so on is just not helpful. But you can also do curbside delivery. So, and that's where you can call. You can make your order of your favorite fish fry, Italian dinner, pizza, whatever. You go to the restaurant. They will contactless drop that into the backseat of your car, in your trunk, however you want to do it. Or you can also do delivery.
So lots of options. Christine, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Christine Hilmer is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Just ahead, we talk with the president of the Human Rights Campaign. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.